Welcome to Lady Bible Study.
Again.
Yay. Yes. Yay. Okay. Please open up to Ruth chapter 2. We're going to jump right in. Notice verse 1. Again, we have a lovely literary device here. So in biblical narratives, if the author tells you something that you could figure out by reading the text, then you know that he wants you to pay special attention to it. So without verse 1, we would eventually figure out that Boaz was the kinsman of Naomi and Ruth. But he draws our attention to it by stating it right there in the very beginning. That's one of the things that makes this just such a brilliant piece of literature. So question 2. Who can explain gleaning to us? What was gleaning? What was it all about?
Picking up grain.
Okay.
Collecting grain. Grain collection.
Right. And in the Hebrew world, whose idea was gleaning?
God's
idea. For what purpose? To help the poor. To help who else?
Widows, aliens.
And orphans. Yes. So specifically, those groups are mentioned. And what promise was connected to the man who would allow people to glean in his field?
Blessings.
Yes, blessings. That God would bless the work of their hands. Mm-hmm. And it was a command that this is what you will do. You will weave the edges and the corners of your field, and you will allow these people to come into your field and pick up what is dropped, what is left behind. And they were to purposely not go back over the field a second time. They were purposely not to beat the branches of an olive tree more than once. They were told to go through the grape vines once, not a second time, and leave that for the poor. And it's really quite brilliant because the poor had to work. Mm-hmm. They had to work to gather their food. And it just... they had to recognize that it was God who was giving them the produce of the field, and God had every right to say to them, you may not have every bit of what's in the field. You need to leave it for the poor, for the alien, for the widow, for the orphan. So, and what was really the picture that God was trying to show them? What was supposed to be their motivation for doing this, for allowing the poor to glean in their fields?
I think it was a reflection of what he had done, you know, for them as far as like providing manna.
Because they had been slaves in Egypt, and they were to remember that everything they had came from the hand of God, and it was only because God had given it to them, and they were not to be stingy with it. Okay. So, how does Boaz show his willingness to extend care to Ruth and Naomi in verses 8 and 9?
I noticed when I was reviewing those verses that he almost takes a very paternal / husband-like attitude toward Ruth, immediately giving her instructions mm-hmm. on what to do for her protection. Mm-hmm. So, and then he provides food for her, you know, for her physical care. She needed food, she had been working, she made a dinner box. So very both paternal and mm-hmm. husband-like.
And he tells her not to leave, not to go anywhere else.
Right.
So that he can protect her.
Right. Yeah. And think about how dangerous it was.
Yes. Yeah. He tells his servants to not to touch
not
her.
Not to touch her.
Right. And think about being a woman and going out into a field where no one could hear you scream.
Right.
Yeah.
And being with workers, maybe with no supervisor, no nothing, it was a very dangerous situation. And especially, don't forget what Israel was like at that time under the judges, where everybody did what was right in their own eyes. It was especially dangerous.
And she's a foreigner.
And she's a foreigner. And she's young. So she could be a particular target. It's interesting that he says to her, listen carefully, my daughter. That word, listen carefully, is Shema. Anybody know where else?
Shema Israel.
Yes. Deuteronomy 6 is called the Shema because it refers to the word hear. So he says, listen carefully to me. And he calls her his daughter, which is so sweet. So obviously we know that he was older than her, probably a generation older. Is there anything else about that that shows his care in those two verses? So he told his servants not to touch her. He told her not to move on from that field. Stay with my maidens. Be protected. You'll be protected. What else did he provide for her?
Water. Well, the food, he told her to really help herself and to drink, and he said, drink.
Right, right. And that's, you think about being out in the field all day. You know, they didn't have, like, thermoses. You just take your own water to work.
They didn't have a Stanley?
Yeah, no. So that was huge. Now, how might workers feel toward people who came to the fields to glean? How might they feel toward them? Why would they look down on them?
Because they're like the people that have nothing. They're kind of the unfortunate ones.
Right. Almost beggars. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And plus it can be misconstrued. If they're picking up a lot of grain, maybe that's going to reflect bad on me as a worker because I'm not doing a good enough job. You know? So there can be a little bit of resentment there.
I didn't even think of that point, but that happened to me in a job one time in the past where I'm doing work and I had a couple people come to me and they said, you need to slow down. You're going too fast because we save work to do it in overtime so we can make more money. So I was like, but this is what I said. It's your job. It's what you can do.
Right.
So hadn't thought of that point though, yeah. And it says, I mean, she's a diligent worker from what the impression you get.
Right. Yes, she is.
But Boaz doesn't put her at the level of a gleaner. Like he's saying, you will get drink just like my servants. Like he's putting her, she's not lowly.
Right.
He's moving her up a notch.
Right, right. I mean, so there's definitely some special favor there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. And especially telling his workers, don't touch her.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't insult her.
And leave extra for her.
Yeah.
Like,
right, right. Yes. Okay. So what's her reaction to his thoughtfulness?
She fell on her face on the ground.
Yeah.
And she was very humble in doing so. And she was amazed that she found favor in this fight, especially since she was a foreigner.
Right. She was the lowest of the lows, you know, coming from Moab. And what could she expect? She could expect to be shunned, to be ridiculed, to be insulted, to be attacked, to be abused. Those were the things she could legitimately expect. And instead, she's getting preferential treatment? So why was Boaz kind to Ruth? What reason does he give? Yes. Yes, typical small town. He already had heard, but that, yes. And that really was a huge, we've talked about that, the huge sacrifice she made in coming back with Naomi. I mean, it was just huge. And he was blessing her for blessing Naomi. Anything else? He shows kindness. What also does he do?
Blesses her.
Yes.
He protects.
Yes, he blesses her. And he calls on God to bless her. Mm-hmm. Right. Which seems to be his whole demeanor. There's a lot of blessings that go on in this book. A lot of blessings. But that is, yes, he calls on God to bless her for her work. And it's kind of interesting. What does it say to us that he says to her, where he says, may your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. What else does he know about her?
She's a believer.
She's a believer. Mm-hmm. Yes, a proselyte. Absolutely. So, how did Boaz's kind words comfort her?
I don't think she was taking for granted that kindness would come to her. Mm-hmm. So she was overwhelmed, I'm sure, by God's love through his intervention.
And this may have been the first or the most obvious time that she could see God actually providing for her special favor. You know, I'm sure the journey back was difficult. And then coming back to Bethlehem and Naomi is bitter and everybody's weeping with her and it's just a depressing. And then she's like, well, I'll go out and work in the field and take my chances at maybe being attacked or whatever. And instead she sees this overwhelming protection and love, which she sees it as God's blessing on her. So yes, it's a very good picture for her of God for maybe the first time directly involving her. So what aspects of God's character are revealed in verse 12?
Protector,
yes.
Provider.
Shelter.
Rewarder.
A rewarder, yes. And the fact that it's wages, God is watching and keeping count and paying wages to Ruth. He's noticing what she's doing. And just overall kindness and love. Okay, let's move on. Question 10. You were to look up these verses and take what you learned about God and apply it to your life according to these words. So first we're going to read those verses because they are just so sweet. Who has Psalm 17:8?
I do. Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me in the shadow of your wings.
There we're talking about wings again. That's a favorite of God's, that picture. Psalm 36:7.
How precious is your loving kindness, O God, and children of men take refuge under thy wings.
Psalm 57:1.
Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for myself takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by.
Psalm 61:4.
Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings.
Psalm 63:7.
For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy.
And last one, Psalm 91:4.
He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark.
Okay, so what do you learn? Well, she says, what do you need to know about God and then apply to your life according to these verses?
God's a shelter.
There's no situation that God can't keep you in his refuge and care.
Absolutely.
Nothing so tragic that he can't come over and love you and protect you.
And that's such a beautiful comfort, isn't it? There isn't anything that's bigger than him. There isn't anything that can touch you when you're under his wings, figuratively speaking. What is God's attitude in that, in those verses? What's his attitude toward caring for us?
He desires it. He wants
He does. To. Yes, he's even eager. Anything else?
I would say it's tender care. I mean, it's, you know, like you think about motherly care, but I mean, it's fatherly care, but
right.
Very tender and loving.
Yes. Yeah, it's not harsh. It's not tough. I'm going to be a big brick wall for you, and I'm going to slaughter all your enemies. I mean, there is a time and a place for that.
Yeah.
But in these verses, we see that tender side mm-hmm. of God, where he's gentle mm-hmm. and tender. How does that help you in your life? What are the practical aspects of that? Brooke?
Like we say all the time, it feels like you're in a bubble. Like nothing can touch you, so you're not fearful of what the next day will bring mm-hmm. because you know that the Lord's got you under his wing.
Right. If we dwell on that in our minds, that can be a huge source of getting rid of anxiety and fear. Because we know that God is there. We know that he desires to protect us. It's not an afterthought. It's not a, I'm going to be hanging on the edge and God might just swoop in and catch me. It's no. It's much more than that. It's God desires to watch over us and protect us. And that's his whole attitude toward us. He knows our frame. He's mindful that we're dust. Anything else? Christy?
I think politics, like, you know, knowing that God is in control, whoever is, you know, will be the president, it still doesn't matter because you know God is in control.
That's huge. That's really huge, isn't it? Because we do tend to think, I don't know about you, but my mind slips there. Oh, what if this person gets into office? We're doomed. And you're like, no, it's all planned by God. And we don't have to fear. And we don't have to worry. We have a responsibility to vote, I think. That's a real tough question this year. But honestly, the Lord is going to do what the Lord is going to do. And it's all planned. So well, we have responsibilities we need to carry out, but at the end of the day, we could trust that it's not going to catch God off guard or by surprise. Okay, so what further ways does Boaz protect Ruth in verses 14 and 16? We said that he already has told her that to stay in his field, that the servants won't touch her, she can drink from the water jars, and then he says even more to her. So what more does he offer her?
He granted her favor beyond her initial needs.
How did he do that? What did he do for her?
He invited her to his own table to dine.
Yes, he did.
And served her.
He certainly didn't have to do that. I mean, she's a poor gleaner in the field. You don't invite her to sit with the workers and eat and serve her grain. But he did.
It says she was satisfied.
Yes.
It wasn't just a little snack or appetizer.
Right, yeah. Right.
She was satisfied.
Right.
Full.
Yes. Yes.
Left over. Right. Left over.
Yeah. Yeah. The portion must have been so big that there was left over for
right.
Maybe later on. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes, it certainly wasn't skimpy. Mm-hmm. Not at all. And then what else? Now, normally when you gleaned, you were to be after they cut the wheat, you could pick up what they dropped. Mm-hmm. And you could hit the edges of the field that they would leave uncut or the corners. But when they were bundling up the sheaves, they did not allow, normally did not allow gleaners to go near the sheaves. Mm-hmm. Is that how he treated Ruth?
No. He told them to let her do that.
Yeah. Yes.
Not to embarrass her. Yeah.
Right, and he told his workers. He made it really clear to his workers that she was under his personal protection, didn't he? Like, we're not just casual here, like, just, you know, stay away from her. But he made it very clear. She has special privileges. And not only that, I want you to drop extra grain for her to pick up. Like, way above and beyond for this woman. And all his workers knew it.
And no insults and no rebuking.
Right. Right.
Didn't want to hear a comment.
Yep. Okay.
That also probably helped their attitude toward her. Mm-hmm. All of that, of course, but the fact that he said, take out some and leave for her. So they knew they weren't going to be judged.
Right.
By, oh, he's going to think we're not doing our job because she's getting so much.
Right.
No, he's now telling us, give her extra.
Right.
Give her extra.
And
so
it was,
would take that pressure off of them.
Too. Right. And it was his to give. Uh-huh. It wasn't theirs.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have a hard time believing that this is the first time that he's ever done this for someone. Mm. I mean, this seems like his character. I mean, it may be not to the extremes of Ruth, but just the way he is with even his mm-hmm. servants. And, you know, it's like, I would be surprised if this was the first time that they have seen him respond this way to a stranger.
Mm. Could be, although telling them.
Right.
He's having to tell them, true. Which means maybe it wasn't his regular practice.
True. But maybe like the jealousy or the insecurity or like wouldn't be there as heavily because
right.
like they're, I don't know. I just see, this seems like a character trait of his, not just
yeah.
like, this is a surprise, here's Ruth, and bing, I'm going to be like this. You know, it seems like this is who he is. And maybe not to the extreme.
Yeah, I'm not sure to the extreme
right.
that he's going for Ruth.
Right.
But it's interesting too that when he walks up, he immediately recognizes that Ruth is like someone new.
Different, yeah.
Well, how many field owners do you think knew all the servants that were working in their field at any given time mm-hmm. and could identify them and recognize that this person doesn't belong?
Mm-hmm.
And yet he did. And the foreman did his job because he already knew who she was. She had asked permission and he had granted it. There is some conjecture because that the way he says, when he's telling Boaz about, in verse, when Boaz asks his servant, you know, who is this young woman? Then he says, she's the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi, and she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. Some commentators will say that the verb in there means that she's been standing around since morning, like waiting for permission. But some of the translations make it clear that she's resting, so she's obviously been working. And then, like you said about Boaz, I would think his workers would know that gleaners would be welcome in his field because of his character. So the foreman would know what to do with giving permission. So
I read somewhere about in one of the commentaries that Boaz was really connected with his servants that were in the fields, like mm-hmm. they prayed for each other. Yeah, in one of the commentaries or somewhere in something I read, it was saying something about that.
It's interesting. You can people take all kinds of liberties.
Yeah. Isn't it? I mean, in the way he greets.
Yeah. Because he was such a.
Well, yeah. There are blessings,
yeah.
and there are
yeah.
blessings there. He blesses his people,
yes.
and they bless him back.
Yeah.
So,
right.
yeah.
I think too that they wouldn't resent her for what he's asking of them if they had seen her work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in other words, she got there and she worked from morning till whatever. Right. So they wouldn't say, oh, this, she's just here for a handout kind of thing, you know, so.
It is interesting that, like I said, I mean, I think in our society, it would be the equivalent of us growing, harvesting, threshing, and having the finished product and then just handing it to the poor. Mm-hmm. And that was not God's design. God's design was that they go and work for what they could get and then thresh it themselves. So it keeps running through my head how our society is so very different than what God's designed society looks like, how he cares for the poor.
It's interesting you should say that, because I just read an article in World Magazine where they talked about food banks and how they're set up, and that the ones that are run in a, like from a Christian perspective, where they kind of, they have the people volunteer help and then they give them the food, they can't get from the main food banks, they can't get food from them because they're putting that quote-unquote requirement on the people, and they want them to just give it as a handout.
Right.
And so they're actually going against, like you said, what would be...
Well, it's kind of demoralizing, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting things to think about, because this is the way God designed the society to work, under him. Okay.
It's interesting also that since he had already received the report about her, that by the time we get to this portion that we're looking at, he is aware that she's not just gleaning for herself as a girl who needs, say, a couple of or a pound of grain to eat and survive for that day, but she also has Naomi at home to provide for.
Right.
So then she ends up gathering, according to the conversions, about 30 to 40 pounds of grain in one day.
Right.
So that's quite a bit.
It is a lot.
Yeah.
It's very much a lot. Mm-hmm. Anybody in here make bread? How many loaves of bread is that? Come on, Shirley, you figured this out. It's about 30 loaves.
Wow.
It takes about a pound of wheat to make a good sized loaf. So, yeah. So that's a month's worth of food that she gathered in one day, roughly.
And that's a lot to carry back home, too.
Yeah, it is. Not as much as after she meets him at the threshing floor. But anyway.
Linda, yes. Do you think by this time, you know, obviously when Naomi goes, I mean, when Ruth goes back and tells Naomi that, you know, this, I gleaned in this field and the man's name is Boaz, and she immediately recognizes that as being a relative of her husband's. Do you think at this time Boaz also knows that Naomi is her relative, his relative?
I'm sure he knows that Naomi's his relative, I would think.
Because I wondered if some of the extra desire to help her was because he discovered at that moment that they are relatives.
Well, and he does know immediately when Ruth asks him to marry her, he knows immediately that there's another person in line. So he's obviously thought through it.
Yes.
Now, I know that's later
yes.
than right now, but he has heard about her. And another word for that kinsman is not just relative, but also acquaintance. It's someone that you know. It's kind of wrapped up in it. So it's very likely that he knew Naomi. And that was part of the reason he bestowed such graciousness on Ruth, was because she was helping Naomi, who was a relative. So. Okay, so what was Naomi's response to the events of Ruth's day in verses 18 to 23? She recognized right away, even before she knew it was Boaz, that somebody had bestowed special favor on Ruth. She recognized that from the food that she brings. Like, where'd you get food? Nobody's going to get, I mean, it's enough that they're letting you glean in the field, but then they're giving you roasted grain. So, what else?
She blesses this person.
Yes. before she knows it's Boaz. Like, may he be blessed. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then who does she see as the ultimate one who's bestowing kindness? Yes. This is really the turning point in the whole story, because this is the first time that Naomi is actually seeing those mercies. Remember, we talked about dark providences always come with mercies. And we don't have any record of Naomi recognizing any of the mercies up until this point. But now she sees the mercies of God in what Ruth has brought back home. And then she also warns Ruth to pay attention to Boaz and what he said about staying close to the maids. So what godly character qualities about these people are presented in this chapter? Let's talk about Ruth. What are some character qualities that are displayed about Ruth in this chapter?
Humbleness.
Sorry?
Humbleness.
Yes. Yes. How do we know that?
Just how she reacted. Yeah. With, I mean, she was very humble about it.
Yeah.
To them.
Bowing down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she, bowing down.
Right. Yeah. And submitting to him, she recognized that she didn't deserve any of it. Yes, humility, definitely. What else?
She was selfless.
How was she selfless?
She, like, sacrificed everything to go with Naomi and to help her. And, to get wheat for her.
Yeah, and to go out and work in the field, that was hard. Really hard. So selfless, definitely. Sorry?
Hard working.
Yes, we can see that, because she worked all day. That would be hard. Think about just picking up, I mean, little stalks of grain. There's just a few.
40 pounds.
Yeah.
40 pounds?
Yeah.
I mean.
And she threshed it.
Right.
So, it is a lot.
And she's still grateful.
Yeah.
She contents in her situation.
She what?
Being content in her situation.
How do you know she's content?
Never reports a complaint.
Mm. That's true. She's only just very thankful for the opportunity, right? So, yeah, I guess we could draw that conclusion that she is content because she doesn't complain mm-hmm. at all. She's just thankful for everything.
I was going to say, she's thankful.
Yes, very thankful. Anything else?
Loyal.
Sorry?
Loyal.
Yes, who's she loyal to?
Naomi.
Yes, she is. Very loyal. Colleen?
It kind of goes hand in hand with some of the things people were saying, but she wasn't controlled by fear of the what-ifs.
Mm.
She knew that she needed to provide for Naomi, and she forsook the fears of what could happen to her and put on love.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's a really good point. Because it would be almost legitimate for a person, it would be legitimate for a person who doesn't know the Lord to be fearful of going out into that field and risking, especially being a foreigner. So she's expressing that love for Naomi drove her out into the field to set aside those fears. And we don't know, but she is trusting the Lord in all of this. That's how she ended up in Bethlehem to begin with. What else?
Are you just on Ruth?
Or? We're still on Ruth, just Ruth. Yeah.
Well, Boaz seems to know that she has believes in Israel's God and Naomi's God and reject the gods that were in Moab. So she's really changed her life.
Right.
And there she is supporting Naomi in a difficult time.
Right. So we might call her faithful?
Faithful, loving.
Mm-hmm.
Obedient.
Obedient. How is she obedient?
Well, she stuck it out with her mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
There was a need. She knew that she had the ability to go ahead and provide. Mm-hmm. And so she did. She could have talked herself and out of it.
Yeah, but and she asked her mother-in-law permission, right, too, and then obeyed. Because she did, she didn't just go out in the field like this is a good idea. She was very respectful in asking Naomi's permission, and then obedient when Boaz said, stick to my maidens in this field and don't go to another field. So yeah, she was very obedient. All right, how about Boaz? What do we learn about his character?
He was a promise keeper.
Boaz?
Mm-hmm.
How is he a promise keeper?
Well, I believe he knew what he was called to do as being a kinsman to Elimelech.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to be faithful. And also, I believe there was a call on his life to be able to do the right thing. Laura had mentioned earlier about, did he do this with other people?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, but today in our world, I think we would call it, there was a chemistry, something that perhaps he knew something special about Ruth, and God was moving him in that direction toward her.
Well, we're talking about his character here. So you said promise keeper.
Right, right.
So promise, how is he a promise keeper? Maybe
he wanted to be obedient and
okay,
do what God wanted him to do, and being generous,
right,
and loyal.
Right, yeah, faithful.
And kindness.
Faithful and obedient to the commands. Anything else? Christy?
He shows compassion and generosity and kindness to the unfortunate.
Yes.
And also his humility by serving Ruth the roasted grain.
Mm-hmm.
And also he blesses the workers. So it just means that he acknowledged God in like everything he has and everything he does.
Yeah, he's a very godly man and compassionate and generous and faithful. Anything we haven't touched on here?
Well, I was just, what Darla was saying, he fears God.
Yeah.
And you can tell in his responses to his servants.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's attentive.
Right.
That's why he knew his workers.
He was hardworking too.
How do we know that?
Well, he was a wealthy man,
mm-hmm,
but, and it maybe not in this chapter, but it talks about him threshing grain,
mm-hmm,
and staying to guard it, so to speak.
Well, and just coming out to the field.
Well, that
and then staying for lunchtime.
And knowing, yeah, his servants.
Yeah, and knowing
and
his servants.
And his time of family.
Right, right.
And he's a wealthy man.
Yeah. He could send people out to do that.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to do that himself.
Right.
Right.
And it was also, the law was what said about leaving the gleaning, and so he was obedient to God's law,
mm-hmm,
in doing that. And that's why I think, like what Laura said, we can't know for sure, but we could probably surmise that he's been that generous, not as generous as he was with Ruth, but he's done that in the past for,
right,
other foreigners, poor people, whatever, because,
right,
he follows the law of the Lord.
Yeah, there would be nothing in there that would lead us to believe he'd act any differently than to follow the spirit of the law,
right,
not just the law.
Yeah.
But he knows who God is.
Yeah.
And he knows that God has provided all of it. None of it's his.
Right.
I mean, right? So he knows that. He,
yeah,
gets that this isn't his.
Yeah.
And so he gives, and he's generous, and he,
right,
blesses it abundantly.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, lastly, how about Naomi? Now, last chapter, we said she was bitter and angry and... yes, call me Mara.
This is my shortest list. Like grateful question mark?
Okay. So one word. Just give me one. What do we see about Naomi here?
I think Naomi doesn't know it yet, but she's a Titus 2 woman. She
obviously that comes way down in the distance, but she's acting like a Titus 2 woman.
How is she?
Why?
Because she gives instructions to this younger woman. She tells her where to go, and the woman, you know, and Ruth, you know, just follows her. And there's, but she's given her a lot of instructions up to this point, and she follows. And you know, in the instructions she's giving her are all good things. Mm-hmm. You know, good things like showing the younger woman what to do.
Right.
I'm glad you said that, because you can. It's easy to look at Naomi in this and, you know, think really negatively, but the character and the advice that she gives, and so you do wonder, you know, she might have been a really, you know, solid woman before all the trials, and, you know, and who knows what she was like, but the advice she gives is great, and to know that Ruth listens.
Yeah, Ruth has a lot of respect for her.
Ruth like sees a side to her, like she's worthy of respect.
Right,
she still honors her and she cares for her, and so we just don't get to see that side of her.
She even confirms the instructions that Boaz gave her. Mm-hmm. You know, she encourages her to obey those instructions that she received from her.
Right. Yeah.
So those are good.
Christy.
Her gratefulness and thankfulness for what the Lord provided for her during the last.
Yeah, she does give God the credit for it, so she's very thankful to God. I think we're finally getting to see Naomi's other side here. Anything else that you see about her?
She's regenerated.
Yeah, because she's seeing the hand of God in this. Anything else?
I put down that she's soft because she didn't gain back her husband and sons. Like, her situation was still the same. It was her perspective and knowing that God was providing for her that kind of made her moldable and...
Yeah, she didn't persist in her bitterness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's starting to come out of that fog and recognize God's hand.
I think it's humbling how their relationship is like, think about us nowadays between mother-in-law and father-in-law. How many relationships is that? The mother-in-law will constantly give out instruction, and the daughter-in-law will humbly receive it, even among Christian families. Mm-hmm. It's just so humbling. I think Laura got a good point. Probably Naomi has demonstrated before all this tragedy happened that he has been probably will take care of her household and give wisdom doing things, and Ruth really respect her, trust in her wisdom, and so now she's willing to listen to her instruction.
Yeah, and let's not forget that they had a relationship before they came back to Bethlehem. So that Naomi probably displayed some of those characteristics. Otherwise, Ruth wouldn't be following her. You know, she wouldn't see her as this person to go with and protect and love. So,
wouldn't she have been winsome as well, like you said, back in Moab, to show Ruth her faith, which then was a witness to Ruth? So she knew Ruth knew Naomi's, you know, that, okay, she's in this bitterness, and rightly so, but not bitter with God necessarily, but what she's going through. But and then I also had a sidebar question of, if Naomi knew so much about Boaz and that he's the relative and that there's maybe even this other guy, why would they not have approached them from the beginning?
What do you guys think?
I had that same question.
Of course you did. We
don't know the time frame. Like, we don't know how much time has passed. We don't know.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking they made this trip all the way from Moab with only what they could carry. So how much food could they have carried? I'm not sure you're going to be baking bread on the way. But they could only carry, and it was like a 10-day journey. So when they arrive in Bethlehem, what do they have? Possibly nothing. I mean, it could be like the next day or two that Ruth is going out to the field. That's conceivable. So maybe there just wasn't time, you know, for them to get their bearings and for her to think through it.
Yeah.
I don't know, and
it doesn't tell us.
So no, it doesn't. So it's all just, you know. Yes. But
I mean, the gossip chain got working pretty quick.
But. Yeah. Yeah, but you know that flies awfully fast, a lot faster. Yeah. And I mean, it could be that
yes, it does.
Ruth is sitting at home going, I just don't know how I can approach him. And is he even still here? Remember, she's been gone for 10 years.
Oh, Naomi.
Naomi. Yeah. So maybe that was on her list of things to do.
Or
was to contact the relatives. I don't know.
Thinking, I got to ask that other guy, and she's going, I'm not going to him, because the way Boaz kind of didn't even mention his name. You know.
Right. I don't know. Maybe she's trusting the Lord to provide. I don't know.
Lord,
we don't know.
Plan, definitely.
Oh, absolutely. He had a plan.
And if we weren't told, we don't need to know.
Exactly. But these are good things to think about, and to think about, why would she not contact him? You know? So what picture of God is presented in this chapter?
Provider.
Yes, provider for sure. Definitely. What else? Sorry?
Protector.
Protector, yes. Because these things are coming through Boaz, but we see them as coming from God. Provider, protector.
Refuge.
Refuge.
Loving kindness.
Yes, yes, chesed. Yes, his loving kindness is showing through here.
Gracious and forgiving.
Why do you say forgiving?
Well, I wrote it down. I'm like, why did I write that? I guess because we do stray. Mm-hmm. You know, our thoughts stray. Or, you know, we fall short. And
emotions of Naomi.
Right. And trials happen, and our faith gets, you know, it's like... And then he forgives us.
Right.
And, you know, he shelters us and protects us and provides. And
I think
he doesn't
it's
have
kind
to.
Of like... Like hand in hand, forgiveness with the word went right out of his head.
I don't know. I would help you. Gracious? I don't know.
Oh. No, never mind. I'll come back sometime, maybe in the middle of the night.
You can text me then.
Yes, he was patient. Uh-huh. That was the word.
Yep.
He was very patient. He let Naomi say those things about him. He still loved her, cared for her.
Party.
Yes. Even though, I mean, I don't want to say she slandered God, but...
Close.
Yeah.
Well, and then he used Ruth to bring her back to him.
Mm.
You know, and how loving is that?
Mm. Yeah.
You know, that he provided Ruth to...
Yeah.
Carry her through this, through him. You know, it's just... It's overwhelming.
I was thinking that it was interesting because when you go through the list of things that Naomi accused God of in the first chapter, she said that God was against her. But we see in this chapter that God is for her and for Ruth. She said that he was bitter, that... Because she said, it's harder for me than for you. That means more bitter. And that God had made her life bitter. But he's being very sweet in his dealings with her now. Very sweet. She said, I went out full and came back empty. But now we see God giving and not taking. So it's almost purposely opposite everything that she accused God of. She said he... afflicted her, which means that afflict means bad, evil, injurious. That's what she accused God of. And yet he's protecting, which is the opposite. So it's just interesting to see all of her accusations of God, all of her perceptions of God, and now God is doing the exact opposite and providing. And being sweet and protecting and blessing. So, okay. you were to look in question 19, you were to look up the following scriptures and then add to the details of the picture of God as protector and provider. What did you learn from those scriptures that add to the picture of God? Brooke?
In the Deuteronomy 10:17-18, he executes justice for the orphan and the widow and shows love for the alien by giving him food and clothing.
So we see provider again, but he brings justice. That's a new picture, that he brings justice.
And justice for the lonely, yeah. For the underdogs.
Yeah. Right. What else do we learn?
We show partiality.
Mm-hmm. And we tend to do that, don't we? If we see somebody who's the underdog, we tend to go overboard, but that's not God's way. Mm-hmm. God does not treats every person the way they ought to be treated, mm-hmm. which is interesting. The perfect equity.
Yeah. Not like today.
Not like today. No. What else? Brooke?
He brings down the wicked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does. Yeah, we haven't seen that side of him in Ruth so far, that he brings down the wicked, but he does. He thwarts the way of the wicked. He brings them down to the ground. Sorry? Do you find it interesting, all these scriptures that pertain to orphans, widows, aliens, the needy? Yes. He has particular concern for them.
Mm-hmm. And he's pretty harsh for people that distort that. It says he curses those who would distort the justice due an alien, orphan, and widow. Mm-hmm.
Because
that's kind of scary.
Yeah, yeah, I think there's a lot of reconciling to be done one day. Okay. Question 20. In verse 20, Naomi begins to see God's kindness directed toward her instead of seeing only judgment. So what events have taken place in this chapter that convinced her of God's intended good toward her? What convinced her?
They received food, and God reconnected. He worked behind the scenes to reconnect them with the family that they had been,
right,
you know, separated from.
Okay.
I think she obviously sees at this point the goodness of the Lord through what the Lord is doing in Ruth, mm-hmm. because she's the one that goes out, she's the one that meets Boaz, she's the one that, you know, but it all comes back to her.
Yeah.
You know, the food, the connection,
right.
Everything is kind of, you know, coming back to her.
Right. So
it's hard to miss that picture, I'm sure.
Yeah, and she does certainly see the protection on Ruth. Because I can't imagine if I was her sitting at home and my foreign daughter-in-law was going out into the field, that would be scary. I would be praying the whole day, Lord protect her, you know. And then she comes back with all this grain and it's like, wow. Christy.
I think when she found out that the man who let Ruth glean after the workers is one of their closest relatives, it's just there's hope for her. She's seeing a big hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, kind of the first hope that she's seen. Yeah.
There's not just one kinsman redeemer, there's a backup.
Yeah. True, and we'll get more into that next week. Okay, so we have discussion questions. And the first discussion question is, what have you learned in this chapter about God? Now, not his character, but what have you learned about God in this chapter. Okay.
Can we start now?
Yes, okay, we'll start now. Sorry. There. Does anybody have any questions about anything we went over today? And I forgot, we will go. Aha, 2 more weeks. That's it. And then you'll have the rest of May off. We have one lesson in May. And then June, the first week of June, we start up EWIT and Beach Days. So, okay, let's close in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for the way you have pulled back the curtain yet again on your character and your love for us and your faithfulness and your kindness and your goodness and your provision and your protection of us. Father God, we can never get to the bottom and fully see who you are and how much you love us and how amazing and awe-inspiring you really are. But Father, I thank you that you have given us your word that gives us just a beautiful picture of you. I pray that we would all be diligent to be searching the scriptures daily, to see that, to see you in the scriptures, to know you, to understand you. And as Christy brought up Matthew 6:33, that when we seek first your kingdom, your righteousness, and even just you, all the other things will be added, the physical needs that we have, Father God, that they should not be our first priority because we belong to a loving Heavenly Father who knows what we need even before we ask and delights to provide it. So, Father, may we be faithful to put you first in all things, to seek you first in all things, and may you receive much glory. In Jesus' name, amen.